is really the same in the first century as it is today, and if the Lord tarries, in the next century, okay? An idol, it is this. It is a thing loved, wanted, desired, and treasured more than God. Just that simple.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
We're happy you've tuned in for the broadcast today. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time, we're airing Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. Today, Pastor concludes the message, Two Tables. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
It's really the same in the first century as it is today, and if the Lord tarries, in the next century, okay? An idol, it is this. It is a thing loved, wanted, desired, and treasured more than God. Just that simple, more than God. We love it. We love you, Lord, but this is ahead of you, you know. In other words, we give maybe more honor and more worship to it or a thing or a person than God Almighty. That is idolatry. Whatever rules a Christian's life, whatever controls a Christian's life, whatever calls the shots in a Christian's life, if it isn't God, that's where you'll find your idol. It is right there. You know, the Old Testament warned the believers then about idolatry. Matter of fact, the very first commandment in Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before you. But we're also warned in the New Covenant, the New Testament, in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep or literally guard yourselves from idols. Amen. We must do that still today. Idolatry is present everywhere. Now listen very carefully. For a believer, for a Christian to have a clear knowledge, the Bible, a clear knowledge of God's will, and a clear understanding of God's will. And then for that believer to pursue something that they know that is wrong and that it violates the known will of God. They know what they're doing, but it violates the known will of God. You know that it's wrong, and then you elevate what is wrong above the known will of God. Loved one, that is an idol. That is an idol, and it will lead you where you do not want to go. Even if you don't believe it, it'll still lead you where you don't want to go. There are many idols today. A few. For example, we have the idol of personal possessions, personal prosperity. Never going to be sick. Never going to suffer. I'm going to be rich. Well, you know what? I hear people, God shall supply all of my needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, yes, Seth, praise the Lord. But you better read the whole context. Because it's talking about those that gave, but they didn't give to get, they gave to help. Do you understand? Listen, we should be giving to God because God has given everything to us. And, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But boy, the love of money, and that is so prevalent, not only in the world, but in the church as well. Money, do you think money can become an idol? Hello? Come on. Listen, I wish every Christian was a multi-billionaire. But they didn't make an idol out of it. Money can change people. Money can change people. You know what? Like, for example, if you sinned and played the lottery and you won $550 million, I love you. And everybody else would love you too. But, do you think you might change a little bit? I pray you do that, but don't. No, I don't. But if you did, tithe. Yeah. No, listen, money, the Bible says about money, Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves silver, meaning money, will not be satisfied with silver. No. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. You're going to love the one or hate the other. You can't do it. You cannot. You cannot, Jesus said. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it. You have to serve God or mammon, but you're going to have to do something. It just doesn't work. Jesus there one day when the rich young ruler, remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, came running unto him and fell down on his knees. Oh, master, oh, great teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Well, you can't do anything to inherit except believe. Amen? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, and goes on and on. And the rich young ruler, the young fellow, he said, oh, Lord, I've kept all these from my youth up. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. Meaning he knew that he was full of bull, okay? No, listen. Jesus said in the King James Version, I like the best, he said, thou lackest one thing. There's one thing in your life, young man, that is destroying you. There's one thing that I can see into your heart that you need to get rid of. You've got to eliminate it. He says, listen, go your way. Sell everything that you have. Give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. What a word from God to the man who was rich. Come with me. Come on. Get rid of that stuff and just come and follow me. Do it right now. You know what the Bible says that happened? But he was sad. He was sad at Jesus' word. And listen, and he went away sorrowful. And here's the reason. For he had great possessions. You know, Jesus gave him a command. He didn't obey it. See, he said, listen, get rid of your possessions before they possess you. And we need to get rid of, if we have anything that's trying to rule our lives other than God, before it takes over, before it starts ruling and reigning. The Bible says, Jesus said in Luke 12:15, that man does not consist of the abundance of the things of which he possesses. That's not how we live, loved one, at all. There are many idols today. One of the big idols that has been so prevalent for the last, maybe 30 years in the church is the idol of experiential Christianity. You know, you live off one experience to the next experience. Listen, I love to experience God. I love for the power of the presence of God to come upon me. Don't you? I love to sense it and I love to feel it, man. I mean, I love that. It's glorious. But to elevate experience above the written word of God is idolatry. You can't do that. The word of God is our guide. We're not led by experiences and we're certainly not led by feelings. We are led by the Holy Spirit of God, by the word of God. You know, we can look at today, especially today more than ever. You know, worship in the church can be an idol where we worship the worship. I love worship, don't you? You know, it's a wonderful thing. But you know, I've heard people say, why do you go to that church over there? I said, they're not really teaching the truth. No offense, but I mean, what they're teaching is pretty bad. They go, oh man, I go because the worship is just blah. You know, and I'm, whoa. And I'm going, yeah, but do you learn anything? No. But I just worship that worship. You know, we live in a time, and I've lived long enough to see so many changes in the church. I love the church. I love believers. I love pastors. I love those that God uses. But I look around, and I know, and I say this with such tenderness and respect, I know that a true pastor wants to reach the culture. I understand that. I do too. The culture that we're living in right now. And so, you know, we need to have this. We need to have that. We need to have this technology. We've got to have lighting that sparkles and glows. And we have it, okay. You know, oh, we got to have those smoke machines. No, I put those in the dumpster. I mean, there's a limit to my hypocrisy, okay? No, you know. But listen, is that what we have today? I mean, is that really, do we have to entertain? Must we entertain the sheep? You know, let me tell you what that does and what it's doing and has done. Because, listen, I say this, and I think I probably shared it with you before. It's terrible to say, I remember the good old days, you know, but I do. And I remember when we didn't have a screen. I remember when the hymnals were gone and we didn't have words on a screen. We didn't have words in front of us. And the people that were up there praising God didn't have words up there to sing by either. It was already in their heart. I remember when we used to close the doors at exactly 10 o'clock at Calvary Chapel in Las Vegas. And they would be locked. And if you didn't get there when we started worship, you'd have to go to the overflow. And there they would get up and we would start. And boy, there was a move of God. They knew every song by heart. We learned every song by heart. We worshiped God in spirit and truth. We didn't know when we would worship sometime for an hour. Sometimes it was longer than that. And we didn't care because we were there and God was there. You see, we have all this stuff that we put together because we think we need all of this. And listen to me now, it steals from you. There's nothing wrong. I want it. It's here. It's here to stay. But it steals from us. See, it steals true worship. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in the Gospel of John, he said in John 4, verse 23, he said, "The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Now, why? For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, when we have to have everything else to get us going, the worship of God literally, and I say it with love, loved one, it's been stolen from our hearts. Now, see, it can become that idol. You know, we live in a time when pastors can love the sheep more than they love God. I never want to be in that condition. Never. Or we live in a time when the sheep can make a pastor an idol. Do you understand? Or make where a pastor or an evangelist or this person, this teacher, where they're celebrities. They have to have machine gun guards with you. Mine, stay out there. I don't want you to come up here. But do you understand? And you know where, you know, one pastor starts dressing this way and they all start dressing this way. I'm not condemning anybody. I mean, look at me. What do idols do today? Same thing they did then. They lead a believer away from the will of God. They also can lead a believer away from even serving the Lord or even giving unto the Lord. And they also do something else. They remove you from real life. You see, if you're not at the Lord's table, you're at somebody else's table. You know, the psalmist said this about idolatry in Psalm 115, verse 8, "Those who make idols are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." See, man is always transformed into what he worships. I think I just said earlier, if you don't worship God, you digress. Man digresses. They go to bugs, the snakes, to reptiles, and you know, and then they start worshiping the creature instead of the creator. Oh, listen, no, idols, man. We must flee from idolatry. The Lord's table are the table of demons. You see, they have a voice there. I want you to turn, as I make application, a quick application this morning, into the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel. And I want you to look at chapter 14 with me. Chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14 in the Old Testament. Look carefully. And let's begin chapter 14, verse 1, just for a few minutes. "And now some of the elders of Israel, they came to me," talking, "they came to Ezekiel, and they sat before me." So these elders, now they're in exile there in Babylon, you know, in the 70 years captivity, and they're there because of idolatry. That's why the southern kingdom fell. That's why the northern kingdom fell. Amen? They started worshiping false gods. So they came to Ezekiel, and all they're doing really is just pretending to get a word. "I need a word from God. Ezekiel, I need a word from the prophet," and so forth. And then it says, look what God did. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man," he's speaking to Ezekiel now, the Lord is, "these men have set up" what? They've done something. God knows everything about every person. He says, "they have set up their idols," and look where, "in their hearts, and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity, into sin." Now look what God says. "Ezekiel, should I myself be inquired at all by them?" In other words, Ezekiel, do you really think I should give any guidance to these hypocrites? They have idols set up in their own hearts. They don't trust me. They trust their idols. They're sold out to them, not to the living God. And he says here, "Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart. The word sets up literally means to set up before him. A thing, a person, meaning a thing that a person will not take out of his heart. Okay? That's what that word set up means. So everyone of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity. That means that true guidance now is impossible if you do that. And then comes to the prophet. Now back then they went to the prophet to receive the word of God. Now, we believe in prophets today. The Bible says there's prophets and evangelists, pastor, teachers, so forth. But we're not led by prophets, are we? No, we might get a word, but we're not led by a prophet. We are led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? And if you do get a word, it'll agree with what God has already shared in your heart. Now, so he says here, so then he comes to the prophet. Whenever he does that, look what God says. I, the Lord, will answer him who comes. Now, don't miss this. I want you to see how God is going to answer him, and it comes by hearing a voice. Watch this. And I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to what? The multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they're all estranged from me by their idols. Listen, that is one of the most frightening scriptures to me in the Word of God. It says, according to the multitude of their idols. Their idols are going to deceive them. Their idols are going to cause them to walk and fall into iniquity and so forth. And they'll deceive a believer today. Now listen to me. Here's what idolatry does. Why every believer must be so careful today. If we elevate anything above God, we put God down lower than whatever. Oh, I love that guy. He's not a believer. Or I love that girl. Whatever. Or this money. Or this. Listen, we're in trouble. Because idols today, they block the true voice of God. Why? Because we've set them up in our hearts. They make us stumble into iniquity. God says, oh, no. You know what? He says, you know what, Ezekiel? They're going to think that I'm answering them. They're going to think that they're hearing my voice. But you know what? I'm not going to be answering them. Their idols will be answering them because they know the voice of their idols better than they know my voice. He says, Ezekiel, the voice of their idols that they hear, he said, they're going to sound just like me. They're going to sound just like God. And the reason is because those idols are their God. And that's what idolatry does. It leads you away from the plan of God. It leads you away from the purpose of God for your life. He says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, repent. Turn away from your idols. Turn your faces away from your abominations. We know the story. This is the grace of God. He says, man, you come to me. Get back with me. Leave those idols. Displace them out of your hearts. Remove them. You put them there now. Get them out. But they didn't, did they? No, they didn't at all. Judah was deceived by the voices of their idols, the things that they worshiped, instead of the living God. It says that they set up idols in their heart. Loved one, listen to me now. Do you know why the great commandment, and it's part of the vision statement at this church, the great commandment, if which Jesus said is the greatest of them all, that you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. Why? Why all of your heart? Because Jesus told us that and gave us that great commandment for a purpose. Because he knows that if you share your heart with anything else but him, it can take you where he doesn't want you to go. It can take you where you don't want to go. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. Jesus, oh no. He says, listen, whatever's in there, if it's not me, Jesus, it's going to deceive you. You see, the Holy Spirit will never deceive you. Never. He'll never lead you to worship anyone else but God, to Jesus Christ. Absolutely no one else. That's why we have to flee from idolatry, just like they did. Man, there's a lot of things out here that's vying, wanting to lure you away from the living God, to take you away. We're living in a time, loved one, you read the book of Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. Whenever the great tribulation comes, the church is removed from this earth. Do you know the things that these people are going to go through? Remember when the abuso is going to be, and those gigantic, horrible scorpions are going to come out, and men are going to be begging to die, but they're not going to die, and they're going to be stinging them for, what, 6 months or 5 months, whatever it is? And God says in his word, he said, but they would not repent. They would not, listen to me, they would not repent of their worship of demons, of their idolatry. Whenever an idol is set up in a Christian's life, they're sitting now at the table of the demonic. They've left the table of the Lord. You know what? If you're here this morning, you're not a believer. I'm talking to you. I love you, but listen to me. If Jesus is not your Lord, you're deceived. There's a voice that you hear. Oh, you don't need God. You don't need Jesus. Heaven's not real. Yes, it is. Forgiveness of sin is real. Becoming a new creation is a reality. It can happen. Old things can pass away and all things can become new. The Bible tells us, Paul writes later on when we get over to 2 Corinthians, it says the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them and they would be born from above. Amen? See, if you don't know the Lord, listen to me now. That means you have never sat at the table of the Lord. You're only sitting at the table of the demonic. That's what the Bible says. Because there are only two tables. The table, the Lord's table, you know what you find? Forgiveness. You find the one who loves you, who died for you, who took your sin, who wants you to be with him in heaven forever and ever, who wants to grant unto you eternal life. But you know, if you sit at the table of the demons, there's no life there. There's eternal death. There's eternal death. There is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Endeavor. What a horrible thing if you don't know the Lord. Father, as we're here this morning, if there is anyone in this chapel that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I want them. You want them. You died for them. If you don't know Jesus, if you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you want forgiveness of sin, if you want heaven to be your home, if you want to know what real life is, if you want to get out of your chair, not your pew, not here, the chair that you're sitting at the table of demons that are laughing at you and mocking you and want to destroy you and want you to burn in hell forever. Don't sit at that table. You have the freedom right now to remove yourself from that table forever. You say, Bill, how? Just simply asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. I want forgiveness. I want him to be the Lord of my life. Just lift your hand high and put it right back down. But Lord, I pray now for your people. And this is my prayer. That in our secret heart, that only you know. If there is any other love that competes with you. If there is any rival throne that is surviving, I pray that we repent of that and that you forgive us and that we only serve you. We only sit at the Lord's table and no other. I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, Amen.
Pastor Bill's 1 Corinthians series continues on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll make a note to tune in again. As always, thank you for spending some of your day with us. We pray the teaching is a blessing to you. May the Lord bless you today, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. Or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org.
or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.